This morning, I would like to look at three appeals concerning God-glorifying prayer. And if you are in Matthew chapter 7, I'm going to start reading in verse 7. We'll read down through verse 11, and then we'll turn over a little bit to Luke chapter 11, okay? So we'll go start in Matthew, and then we'll jump over to Luke chapter 11. Jesus here is preaching on the Sermon on the Mount. He has already encouraged the people to not be anxious about anything. Do not worry about their stature. Do not worry about physical needs and very real things such as what we will eat or what we will wear or how we will be clothed and all these different concerns that come very often to our hearts and lives as people who are weak. And he says, don't be anxious. He tells them, don't judge other people. But here's what you should do. In verse 7, he says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Earlier as well, he had given what we often call the Lord's Prayer, which we could say really is the disciples' prayer. It's a prayer for us to pray. And in there, he says, not your will, but mine be done, just like our song I'll just close with, because God's will is perfect, it's good, and it's kind. If you have your Bible again, turn to Luke chapter 11. We're going to see a parallel passage with this. Jesus also had just, the people knew about him and his miracles with bread and with fish. And so I think it's interesting that he brings that up here for these people. If your son asks you for bread, are you going to give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, are you going to give him a serpent? No, you're going to give good things to your children, what is necessary for them. Let's come over to Luke chapter 11. Last week, we looked at the first four verses as we looked at that question, how should we pray, as we looked at the Lord's Prayer again. But I'm going to look in verse 5 of Luke chapter 11. We'll read down again through verse 13. He said to them, which of you has a friend who will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me three loaves? For a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. He will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, or this man consistently knocking on the door, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Let's start with a word of prayer and ask God to bless his word to our hearts together. Lord, I thank you for this time now in this service that we can devote to your word, devote to your truth. And Father, I pray that your truth is what we would hear this morning. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth would be clear and they would be accurate and they would be designated to your glory. Father, I pray that you would use the words of your very word, the scriptures, your spirit would work in our hearts to help us to understand how important it is that we continue in prayer, that we never abandon prayer. Father, I pray that you will work in our hearts to show us your love this morning, to show us your care as a father for his children, to show us how you're ready and eager and willing to hear us when we call, no matter how many times we come to you in a day or even in a moment. Father, I pray that you would get the glory in our hearts as we focus on prayer this morning. May you help us be a church that is a praying church. Father, may we be a people who prays not just when it's convenient or not just when we're between a rock and a hard place, but that prayer would be a natural, regular expression of our worship to you. We ask this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. A couple weeks ago, we looked at the question, why should we pray? And as we looked at that, we said, well, there's a number of reasons why we need to pray. We said that we need to consistently, we need God's help. We need His provision. And this is, again, what these opening passages remind us of. We need God's provision. And so God says, come, pray to me, and I will answer, I will provide, and by perfect way. We also said another reason why we need to pray is because we consistently, in our day-to-day lives, we need a proper mindset of worship. And it's so easy, isn't it? Isn't it so easy in the busyness of life to become distracted away from what is most important in our lives? It's so easy in this day and age to get distracted. And so prayer, God gives us prayer so that we bring our mindset and our hearts back into right perspective on worshiping Him. We also said that we just need regular communication with our Father. We'd looked at our relationship, right? And any relationship that is going to be a healthy relationship must have good communication. And that's no different than us with our Heavenly Father. He loves us. And He wants you to talk to Him. And He wants to provide for you. And He wants to communicate with you through His Word, but also through prayer. We also said prayer is, we need to pray because we need to be constantly reminded of our need to be thankful to God. And prayer is such an easy way for us to give thanks to God and thank Him on a regular basis for His goodness. So we covered that question, why should we pray? And last week we looked at how we should pray, and we looked at a couple of illustrations. We looked at the Pharisee, the parable that Jesus gives of a Pharisee who's praying with pride and a tax collector who's praying with humility. And we said that God wants us to come to Him with hearts of worship, with hearts of humility and hearts of honesty. So we've covered a number of different angles, prayer. This morning, we want to come at it from another angle this morning. When should I pray? Or how often should I pray? The big idea I would have for us this morning is to never give up on God by abandoning prayer. Because the moment we stop praying, the moment when prayer becomes just an option rather than a regular necessity, we have given up on worshiping God in this way. We've abandoned, in a sense, this great gift that God has given us in prayer. So may we not give up on God by abandoning prayer. How many of you have prayed for something for years and years and years, and you're still waiting to see how God's going to work? I've been praying for the salvation of a number of my family members for a number of years. God still hasn't worked in their hearts. I pray, but I don't stop praying. We're going to look at a passage in a little while that it encourages us in that particular aspect. But this morning, I want to look at three sections of Scripture that are going to give us three appeals. If I could appeal to you as your pastor, I would appeal to you to never stop praying. Don't abandon prayer. We're going to look as we close in 1 Thessalonians where it says, pray always, pray without ceasing. We'll talk about what does that mean? We'll look at that. But God calls us to a ministry of prayer. He gives us this opportunity of prayer. May we never abandon prayer and give up on God. First of all, this first appeal that we can look at in these first two sections is that there's an appeal here in Scripture. There's an appeal that Christ gives us to regularly pray to God with our specific burdens. As we look at these two passages we just read, we see that there was a specific thing in this illustration that this person was asking for. And the one, it was the first in Matthew's, it was a son asking of his father for a piece of bread, or asking him for a fish, asking him for something to eat specifically. And the father gives that to him. Here in this other illustration, Luke, we see that there's this illustration of a person late at night knocking on the door, asking for three loaves of bread. It seems that in this illustration, there were some friends that had unexpectedly showed up. Has that ever happened at your house before? Some friends just show up? It used to happen a lot in the day, maybe not as much, but that's a sign of a good friendship too, though, right? When you can just kind of show up and, hey, okay, we got the guest room, pull out the, you know, throw out the living room, get blankets out. Well, apparently something like that happened, but this guy didn't know, and he didn't have any food to give them, probably for breakfast the next day. They didn't have Giant back in that day, right? They didn't have all this stuff, and so he goes to his friend who he somehow knows. This friend has plenty of bread. Maybe they're more prepared, I don't know. They're a Boy Scout back in the day, I don't know. But anyway, so he's prepared, he has all this bread, and he knocks on the door late at night after they're asleep. Hey, I need some bread. And then naturally, the guy says, go away. I can't get up now. And that day even, as the house was constructed, many people would sleep on the first floor, and many times the family, the husband and the wife, or the head of the household would be in one corner of the room, but all the family, all the children would be laying out on the floor. And so to get to the door was very cumbersome. And you didn't open the door at night. It was safe. It was locked. And for this person to come, he says here, my children are with me here in bed. I can't get up now. If I get them, I'm going to wake the whole house up. The guy keeps knocking. I need the bread. And so here the illustration is that Jesus says in verse 8, he says, I tell you, he's not even getting up because it's his friend. The reason this guy gets up out of bed is because he doesn't want him to wake up everybody. So he says, oh. And so he walks over the kids, opens the door. Here's your bread. Go home. Now, did he answer that guy's request? Did he answer it happily and joyfully? No, it was reluctantly. It was more like, just get out of here. And Jesus here makes the illustration. You guys understand that you reluctantly will answer someone just if it annoys you. But let me tell you something. God's not annoyed when his children come to him. In fact, you ask of him whatever you will. Come regularly and come to God with your specific needs, your specific requests. And have it under that umbrella of God's will. But come to him because you're coming to your Father. He's not going to ignore you. He's not going to turn you away. He says here in verse 13, if you who are evil, he said that in both things, you who are sinners, you understand about helping those and giving what people ask for us to help. If you can understand it in a sinful way, imagine how God, who has no sin, no bad motives, no ulterior motives, but other than blessing his children and glorifying himself, he's going to give you what you need. And he'll answer you specifically. Now, does God always answer in the time that we would like? No. But he says, knock, and I will hear. Knock, and you will be answered. He even says here, how much more in this section in Luke, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? He'll give you the greatest gift ever, and that's himself, if you ask him. So he says, come regularly come to me and pray. Do we pray each day to God with our needs? Do you ever think that sometimes maybe God's tired of hearing you pray? Don't ever think that. He loves to hear it. Maybe he's not answering in the way that we would like at that moment. Maybe God's working in our heart to help us understand what we're praying for and make sure that we're praying in that reality of let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But maybe it's a health situation. Maybe it's a financial situation. Maybe it's a relationship situation. Whatever the situation is, be specific to God. He delights to hear your specific requests. And what is that doing when we come to God specifically? It's, again, verbalizing and making clear to our own hearts that we need God, that we can't do it on our own. And God, I'm coming to you with a specific request. It could be a specific request as, Lord, please give me safety as I go to work today. Lord, please help my children as they're at school today. Please keep them safe. Please help them to love you with their heart and mind. Help them to have a heart that wants to love you today. I think of Job. Remember how Job prayed for his children every day? In fact, he even gave sacrifices back in that old system. Just in case they sin that day, God, would you please forgive my children? We need to come specifically to God about our family, about our work. He loves to hear that. So come regularly. The call here. This isn't the call of, well, when you have a need and that's it, then come. No, come regularly to me in prayer. Just like a father or a child comes to their parent regularly for things they need. Come to God. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. But come to him regularly with your specific burdens. Secondly, turn if you would to Luke. You're in Luke. Turn to Luke chapter 18. Here's another appeal that Christ gives concerning when we should pray. Not just regularly, not just on a regular ongoing basis, but steadfastly. We should steadfastly pray to God with our ongoing burdens. Here's another parable. Verse 1 of chapter 18. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. I always love it when a parable opens up this way, because you know exactly, why this parable was given. Jesus is going to give them a story to encourage them to be steadfast in prayer. Don't give up on God by abandoning prayer. Don't stop praying. Verse 2, he said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. This judge, he was not a worshiper of God, and he didn't even care about his fellow man. He just did the job of a judge. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. And for a while he refused, But afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? The picture here, as we see, is of a widow lady who we don't know. It's an illustration, okay? It very well could have been happening in that day, because it often happened where widows were taken advantage of. Maybe there was a debt that they owed before their husband passed away, or maybe there was something else. Someone was taking advantage of them. Someone was showing injustice to this widow, and she comes to the judge, who is the one who should give justice, right? That's what the judicial system is supposed to do. Look at the facts, and this is wrong, so correct it. But he doesn't. This judge is not a righteous man. He doesn't love God. He doesn't care. He really only cares probably about himself. And this lady, though, keeps coming daily. Show me justice. Show me justice. Do what's right. Show me justice. And finally, the guy shows her he does what needs to be done just because he's annoyed by her. It's very similar to the illustration we just had before, right? With the guy knocking on the door in the middle of the night. The guy's annoyed, so he finally answers. But here, Jesus says, now look what the judge said, verse 6 and verse 7. Will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Why does he say that? I think this parable is here to show that many times in our prayers, God's timetable is far different than our own, and yet it does not mean that he does not care. And he wants us to come to him with that humble heart, that honest heart, honest with him about our concerns, but humble before him and with a heart of worship, knowing that we can worship God in the middle of this difficult time through prayer. You're not alone as you go through this trial, God's saying. Come to me. I hear, and I will answer, and I will give justice speedily. I will act speedily in my time. But trust me, and don't stop praying. They ought always to pray and not to lose heart. That word, lose heart, is an idiom for give up. How many of you have been tempted to give up in prayer? I know I have. There's so many times with a situation at home or a family situation, it's so easy sometimes when you see, feel the pressure, and it doesn't seem that God's answering, you say, well, maybe I just don't need to pray anymore. Because what does it matter? No, I urge you, I'd appeal to you, do not give up on God by abandoning prayer. Rather, that is the time to persist. And as you pray, worship God. Give thanks to him for who he is, for what he's done and what he's promised to do. And as you take this specific burden to God, be steadfast, often, daily. Don't stop praying to God. And when he answers in his perfect way, in his perfect time, you can look back and say, look how great my God is. He upheld me even through prayer during this very difficult time. He listened. I knocked, and I know he was hearing me, and I know he was answering in his perfect way. Be steadfast to God with your ongoing burdens. There's many burdens that we could have. On the back of your sheet, there's some blanks perhaps that God is wanting you to pray steadfastly to him about or specifically to him about. I'd encourage you, if that would be of help to you, to write some of those in there and pray about that daily, knowing that he hears. There is power in prayer, not because of who we are, but because who God is. So don't abandon God, or don't abandon prayer by giving up on God. And then lastly, this morning, turn over to 1 Thessalonians 5:16. This, I think, is one of the most interesting passages of Scripture, and also it can be, it also causes a lot of questions sometimes. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. This is right at the end of this letter that Paul's writing. There's a lot of short little commands right at the end here as he encourages them to be an encouragement to those who are lazy and tell them they need to work hard. Don't repay evil for evil. Help those who are weak. Verse 14, be patient with those who can try your patience. And then he gets to verse 16. He says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks always. and all circumstances. Why? Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That word pray without ceasing is a phrase. What does that mean? Does that mean that, I mean, that's impossible. How could I always be praying 24/7? Is that what he's saying? It could be. I think it's important that we see verse 16 and 18 surrounding verse 17. And I think what the appeal here is, the third appeal this morning, is to constantly pray to God with true thanksgiving. Surrounding this phrase, pray without ceasing, is rejoice always and give thanks in all circumstances. I think what Paul is saying here is as you go through your daily life, never stop coming to God with thankful prayer. These Thessalonians had faced the loss of loved ones, we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. There was some sadness that had come into their lives. There were some difficulties at work, we see. There were some who were struggling with living purely before God. Some had faced great persecution for taking a stand for Jesus. And Paul says in all of that, rejoice. Give thanks to God. And prayer is how you're going to do that. Pray without ceasing. I don't think what Paul is saying here is that every second of every day, like those who would devote themselves to a monastery, need to always be in prayer every day. But as you go through your day, be constantly giving thanks to God for what he's done for you, for who he is, and for what he's promised to do. Why is it hard for us to give thanks? Why do you think? Pride. Because many times our expectations that we have for ourselves have not lined up with where God's better expectations are. Maybe it's just because we want our own way, and God is not doing it that way, and so we find it hard to be thankful. Can I encourage you that thankfulness is one of the greatest remedies to pride that God has given us? Because when you're truly thankful to the Lord, what are you reflecting on? You're not reflecting on yourself. You're reflecting on who your God is. And it brings life into perspective, and you realize that, Lord, help me to not compare myself to this family over here, or compare myself to this individual over here, to think I'm better than them, or to think I'm not as blessed as they are. No, Lord, I look to you and I realize this is who you are. You're my God. And you are the King of Kings. You're the Lord of Lords. And you give thanks to him in all circumstances. We learn how to do that. A person who is truly thankful cannot be proud. A person who is truly thankful cannot be bitter, no matter how their circumstances of life have gone. A person who is truly thankful to God is in a mindset of worship. Is that not far better than going through life unthankful? It's so sad to see Christians who, because their perspective on God is not right and it's become misaligned with what God's word says, that they go through bitterness for many years, perhaps because of a very, very hard and difficult situation in life. Perhaps it's the loss of a child. Perhaps it's the loss of a spouse or a marriage relationship that has not gone the way they anticipated it would go. And that has caused them, because they have not viewed God as always good and always sovereign, always in control, it's caused them to grow bitter and angry at God. And Paul says, no, in every circumstance, give thanks. We of all people, Christians, should be, right, the most thankful people out there. This morning as we were in Sunday school looking at what Christ has done for us, and we'll definitely next week look at the work of Christ. I mean, you look at the gospel, you can't help but be thankful. Could this be why God tells us to meditate on his word and to be instant in prayer, to be constant in prayer? A huge part of our prayer must be thanksgiving. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, again, a very familiar passage of Scripture. We looked at this last year as we closed out Philippians. But Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Actually, let's start in verse 4. This sounds very similar to what we just read in Thessalonians. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in all circumstances, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And when you do that, verse 7, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in who? Christ Jesus. think God loves you? Do you think he gave you prayer just for like a rabbit's foot that you can have on your keychain so when stuff goes wrong, oh, let's go to prayer, and that rabbit's foot's going to get us out of trouble? No, he's given you prayer for a daily, regular staple of your worship. Prayer, we should see prayer to God, communication with our God, meditation and prayer, thanksgiving and prayer. We should see that just as important many times as going to his word in prayer. Prayer is a staple, not a complement to daily worship. Remember the little kids' song we'd sing in Sunday school? Maybe we still sing, read your Bible, pray every day, and you grow. Look at all the actions for that. Remember, you used to kind of look at that and kind of like, oh, it's kind of a silly song. I mean, it's cute. It's kind of silly. It's really true when you think about it. Read your Bible. Pray every day. Because that's how God wants to grow you in Christ Jesus. You think God knows what's going to happen each day that we face? He definitely does. Does he know that we're going to struggle with anxiety? Yes. Why? Because that was what he faced in this world. He knew what it was to be anxious. He knew what it was to have the temptation to give in to worry. He knew what it was to be rejected. He knew what it was to be wrongly accused. He knew what it was to have an expectation not go the way you're expecting. He knew what it was to face death. He knew everything that we face in this life, and yet he didn't give in because he is God, and he is perfect without sin, but he knows the struggle that we face. And that's why Hebrews, the author in Hebrews says in chapter 2, therefore he was tempted in every way like we were, yet without sin. Why? So that he could be a faithful high priest and the one who can help us, our help in times of trial. He gives us prayer because he knows we need it. He gives us prayer because he knows we're going to face that difficult conversation at work the next morning. He knows that we are going to face the rejection. Even though we may not know it, we're going to face the rejection of a close friend, perhaps. He says, I'm going to give you prayer. I want you to be praying to me. I want you to be thankful so that when that time comes, you will have my peace that surpasses all understanding, guarding as if a guard were keeping you from all harm. That peace of God will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, because that's what Satan wants to mess up, doesn't he? Our hearts and minds. Look at our world today. Our world that is stumbling about in darkness, making all the wrong decisions in life. Why? Because their hearts and minds are not secure and guarded in Christ Jesus. They're looking for satisfaction. They're facing the same pressures you are, yet they have nowhere to go. And so they clutch onto an addiction, or they clutch onto some earthly relationship, or they clutch onto some goal in earthly life, thinking, if I get this goal, that will fill the void of the hurt that I have. That'll fill the void of the non-acceptance that I have. And yet it's all empty because they don't come to Jesus. But I encourage you this morning, if you're looking to fill that void in your life, that void of hurt, or that void of non-acceptance, or that void of non-love, you're trying to fill that void with anything other than Jesus Christ, it's not going to satisfy you. It's always going to let you down. But Jesus Christ will never let you down, because he's God. And he offers more than just acceptance. He offers you eternal life that will never go away. He offers you love that will never stop. And then after he brings you into his family, he gives you these wonderful gifts of his word, of his church, and of prayer, of his spirit. And it just doesn't seem to stop, all the things he's given you. But he's given you prayer. So I'd encourage you this morning, as we look, and if you look at your handout there, there's a section on the back page that talks about what it means, what happens when we stop praying, what we're really saying. Maybe we don't realize this. But if we abandon prayer, if we stop praying thinking that it doesn't matter anymore, we get so calloused perhaps in our Christian life that we start to think, well, it doesn't really matter if I pray to God. Can I encourage you or give an admonition? To abandon prayer is saying that God isn't enough. You realize that? I've been guilty of that so many times in my life. Car breaks down. Situation happens at work that you don't know how to get out of it, and you just start running around like a chicken with your head cut off. Ah, this is crazy, and you're snapping at people. You're snapping at your wife at home. You're snapping at your children. Ah, instead of running to God in prayer with that, I'm basically operating as if God isn't enough. No, don't stop praying. Rather, pray even more. Bathe yourself, immerse yourself in prayer to God. To abandon prayer is saying, God isn't listening. Well, what does God say? No, I'm always listening. Knock, and it'll be opened. Ask, and you will receive. The door will be opened to you. To abandon prayer is really saying God doesn't care, or to somehow think that God doesn't care. God doesn't care about what I'm going through in my life. God doesn't care even that I don't pray. God doesn't care. No, God cares greatly about you, so much so that He gave His life. We just sang that song, oh, how He loves you and me. He gave us life. What more could He give? He loves you greatly. He cares for you greatly. Don't abandon prayer because some circumstance could tempt you to think that God doesn't care about you anymore. He cares greatly. Don't stop praying. Don't give up on God. To abandon prayer is saying, I've got this. Pride. I don't need to go to God right now. I can work this out on my own strength. To go through your whole life as a Christian to not have a regular life of prayer is to say, I've got this. No. May we come to God each day, maybe as we begin a day or as we end a day, throughout the day, saying, God, please, I need your help today. Come to Him with humility. Be honest with God and say, God, I don't have this. And I'm glad I don't. I'm glad you have this. I'm glad you are in control. So God, I come to you with thankfulness. Thank you, God, that you are more than enough for me, that you are everything I need. Thank you, God, that you are listening. Thank you, God, that you do care. God, I thank you that you've got this. So God, I rest in you. Give me wisdom. How many of you find that throughout the week, one of your most constant prayers is for wisdom? That's me. I'm not smart enough, God, to figure this out. I don't have wisdom for this situation, whether it's in my family or it's here at church or it's in life in general. But God, I know you do. I love that passage in James where it says, if anyone lacks wisdom, which is kind of like a tongue-in-cheek, we all do, right? Since we all lack wisdom, let us ask. Remember that word, ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and doesn't upbraid, He doesn't chide, He doesn't rebuke you for coming to Him for wisdom. Rather, He says, please come specifically to me. Tell me, what do you need wisdom in? And I will give it. I will grant it to you. Lastly, I'd say to abandon prayer is believing Satan's great lie that says that God doesn't love you and you don't need God. Don't ever believe that. Don't ever think that God doesn't love you. Don't ever think that God has turned His back on you because of a situation you're going through. Rather, in that time, run to God with thankfulness. Run to God thanking Him for who He is, for what He's done, what He's promised to do. Thank Him that He is in control. And run to Him, cry to Him, be honest with Him and say, God, please help my faithlessness, help my weakness, help me to trust You, help me to worship You. And God, would You work in this way? And you trust Him in prayer. As I close this morning, I just say three points of application. One, I would say that God never fails His children when they humbly pray. The emphasis there is humbly. I'm sure there's all been times in our hearts and our lives where we haven't prayed to God in the right way. Has that ever happened for you? Praying to God with an angry heart, with a bitter heart. It's not wrong to be honest with God, but we don't want to sin. No, come to God with humbleness, with humility, and He will hear and He will answer. It doesn't mean that we have to have all the answers figured out. It's totally fine to come to God with confusion, isn't it? It's totally fine to come to God with sorrow. You look at the Psalms. We went through the Psalms for a while on Wednesday nights. You see David pouring his heart, God, I feel like my enemies are about to choke me to death right now. God, I don't know what to do. I feel like everyone's deserted me. God, I even feel like maybe you have. But I know that's not right, David will say. And so he'll come back to praise. He'll come back to thankfulness. God never fails His children when they humbly pray. So don't stop praying. Don't give up on God by abandoning prayer. You say, well, Pastor, I'm just not a great prayer. I mean, I don't sometimes even know how to pray. Could I encourage you that what is prayer? We've kind of sometimes made prayer to be some sort of grand thing where you have to say all the right theological words or the theological jargon. Sometimes it drives me nuts, and I catch my own self praying that way at times. But what is prayer? Prayer is basically talking to God, just like you would talk to your earthly father, but now you have a perfect relationship with your heavenly Father. It's coming and saying, Abba, Father, Daddy, this is what I need. It's coming boldly to the throne of grace and just being honest and open. You say, well, do I have to be on my knees when I pray? No. One of my best friends doesn't have any knees. He's a great prayer warrior. No, you don't have to be on your knees. You need to have a heart that's humble before God. You say, well, do I always have to have my eyes closed? Careful, kids. If your parents tell you have your eyes closed, have your eyes closed. As I said last week. But you can pray to God while you're driving down the road. I'd say don't take your eyes off the road. I remember times as a FedEx driver, thinking about what ministry God was going to call us to. There was a pressure time in my heart where I wasn't getting the hours I needed at FedEx, and the funds weren't coming in, and I had finished seminary, and I was still had some bills to pay, and I knew, God, where do you want us to serve you? Don't know where. And we checked out a place in Boston, and just wasn't the right fit. And it was getting pretty stressful some days because I needed the hours, and yet those were some of the sweetest moments for me. Not because I made them sweet. There were times I was really frustrated. But I learned God was working in my heart just to be able to pray while I was going from stop to stop. And we can pray while we're driving the truck, I know by experience. Just don't get too distracted. You'll go through those red lights. No, God's not worried about the physical aspect of prayer. He's worried about the inward reality of prayer. Don't give up on God. Keep praying to Him for your children. Keep praying to Him for your specific needs. Keep praying to Him for your unsaved loved ones, your neighbors. He hears, and He will answer in His perfect way. Second, I would say that God never tires of answering His children's prayers. Aren't you thankful for that? I have to admit there's times where I tire of some of the requests of Caleb and William, and I need to be more patient. Dad, why this? Dad, why that? Dad, why this? And I need to think, you're not going to have these little guys around asking questions your whole life. Let Him ask all the questions. God never tires of your questions. Does He always answer your question? No. He doesn't always answer it the way you want, but He always hears. And He always answers in His right way. Take that confidence in knowing that your God hears you and He cares about you. And know what? He knows exactly what you need before you even pray, yet He calls you to pray so that you see for your own self your heart of worship towards Him. He never tires of answering His children's prayers. And I would say lastly, God is glorified. God is clearly glorified when you trust and obey Him through doxological prayer. Remember that big word, doxological? Doing everything for the glory of God. When we come to God in prayer with a heart to glorify Him, even though we don't have all the answers, even though we don't even maybe have the comfort that we know that everything's going to work out the way we know exactly how it's going to work out, we come to Him with worship. We come to Him with thankfulness. We come to Him with our specific requests, and we steadfastly bring to Him our ongoing burdens. And He causes us to be thankful. And He causes us to worship Him. Perhaps this morning God wants you to pray to Him specifically about a certain thing. Don't stop. Keep coming every day to Him with that. Maybe it's not every day. Maybe it's as the situation arises. Keep coming to Him with that request. Maybe God wants you to pray steadfastly about an ongoing thing. Keep praying. This last section here for fill in the blank, it says, I can and I must constantly thank God for, and there's so much to be thankful for. Have you ever sat sometimes, though, and felt, what do I have to be thankful for? Has that ever happened to you sometimes when a situation goes really bad? I remember in Virginia Beach one time, this is before I had my job at FedEx, I'm looking for work, okay? And so I have my cell phone, the flip phone, okay, it had the little antenna thing to go up, and I didn't have texting or anything like that, but I had done all these interviews, and, you know, you give them all your number, okay, call me, and you're kind of calling back, hey, just letting you know, here's my number, you know, trying to get the job, and I had about four or five different interviews, and FedEx and another one looked promising. I was waiting for them to call me back. I didn't have a place to rent yet. I was living at a friend's house because the place we were going to rent wasn't open yet, we can't live in it. So even my physical address wasn't there, so my cell phone number was like the link and my email, but the link was my cell phone number. Well, I washed my phone that week. Wasn't thinking. Sarah and I weren't married yet, or she probably would have checked my pockets and said, hey. But so I didn't have a wife to take care of me, okay? And washed the phone. I was one of those, oh. It was one of those, okay, quick, you take it out, and it had gone through the whole cycle. I mean, it was all a cycle. I put it in the dryer, and I see it, and I open it up, the case, and there's the water floating around in there. It's like, and so you try everything, right? Put it in the rice, put it in near the oven, all this kind of stuff. It wasn't happening. And you open up the back and the water comes out. It's done. And I'm in Virginia Beach. My mom and dad were up in Ohio at the time. How am I going to get another phone? I'm stressing out about this. So I go outside to the car, and I'm just like, you know, ticked. I slam the door shut, and then it hits me. My keys are in my room. So now I'm locked out of the house without a phone, and I normally didn't lock my car, but I did that night. So I couldn't even sit inside my car. So I'm just sitting there, and it was evening, you know, when this happened. My friend who worked at the time, he wasn't going to be at home till about 10 o'clock that night. What are you going to do? So I sat there, angry, looking up at the sky. But you know what? God broke me. And that night turned into some prayer. I said, you know what, Lord? You've got a reason for this. I'm not saying this because I'm perfect. Not at all. I was in the worst of moods. And yet God knew it took that little time, take away something as silly as a cell phone, locking out your keys. I couldn't do it. There was no, I've got this. And I think I had been operating that way for a number of weeks. I've got this. I've got this. Graduated from Bible college. I've got this. I got seminary lined up. I've got this. God said, you ain't got nothing. I've got it figured out. It could very well be that sometimes God is allowing some of the pressures that we face just to remind us that he's got this. So come to me in prayer. Got a new phone. Got a call from FedEx. Everything worked out. God knew it was going to work out. I'm going to encourage you at some stressful times. Maybe God is just trying to encourage you that he's got this. So look to him in prayer. Don't stop praying. Let's not give up on God as a church. Let's keep praying. As I close this morning, I just want to read a prayer from the Valley of Vision. This is a collection of Puritan prayers, and some of them are very powerful, and I just want to read one. So just listen to the words. This one's called The Prayer of Love, and it's a desire, a prayer to God to help us be prayerful people. It says, Gracious Lord, thy name is love. In love, receive my prayer. My sins are more than the wide sea's sand, but where sin abounds, there is grace more abundant. Look to the cross of thy beloved Son and view the preciousness of his atoning blood. Listen to his never-failing intercession and whisper to my heart, thy sins are forgiven. Be of good cheer. Lie down in peace. Grace cataracts from heaven and flows forever, and mercy never wearies in bestowing benefits. Grant me more and more to prize the privilege of prayer, to come to thee as a sin-soiled sinner, to find pardon in thee, to converse with thee, to know thee in prayer as the path in which my feet tread, the latch upon the door of my lips, the light that shines through my eyes, the music of my ears, the marrow of my understanding, the strength of my will, the power of my affection, the sweetness of my memory. May the matter of my prayer be always wise, humble, submissive, obedient, scriptural, Christ-like. Give me unwavering faith that supplications are never in vain, that if I seem not to obtain my petitions, I shall have larger, richer answers, surpassing all that I ask or think. Unsought, thou hast given me the greatest gift, the person of thy Son, and in him thou wilt give me all I need. Realize that many times when God doesn't answer the way we want, it's because he has something far, far better. That's where Paul says, to him who is able and exceedingly powerful to do everything above all that we can ask or think, to him be the glory of God forever and ever. May we pray to that one, and we never give up on him by abandoning prayer. As the Tale of Two Cities starts, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Remember that in literature class? God wants us to pray to him in the best of times and the worst of times. May we be a church of prayer, because God hears, God answers, and God makes us more like Jesus through prayer. Let's close in prayer.